Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent Breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
TalkSTL.com, real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the war room of the O'Keefe Think Tank, this is Real Spoilers, episode 160.
Yeah.
I just never thought we'd get this far. I'll be honest.
Especially
thought,
with you.
I know.
Yeah. I didn't think he was going to be on episode two. I know. But look, it's 160. And there he is.
But he showed up.
He did.
He just kept showing up.
And we were all like, dude, should you tell him?
Yeah.
And nobody did.
I don't know what to say.
I mean, at this point, if you show up, you're on the show.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
They got to episode 15. They're like, I guess he's on the show.
Well, especially by episode 50, like, you were the only one that showed up. It was just me and you.
Oh, that's right. It was. Yeah, was that Rise of the Planet of the Apes?
Yeah, that was Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
With Rich Hanley?
With Rich Hanley. Luckily, we had a guest that week.
Or was it episode 51?
Well, it was 51.
We got the number wrong. So, first, we'll go around and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. We have a guest this week.
Yay.
How about that? Yay. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Frank.
Hooray.
Yay. You can tell everybody where you're from.
I'm from St. Louis.
Keep it clean.
I do a couple of podcasts. I'm the co-host on the Kelly Mano Show podcast every week.
She was on our MOP episode.
She was. Yes. Yeah. Joy. Who also got crazy press as well.
Yeah. She did.
Yeah. She was on the weekend before the great Cronky Poo.
Yeah. Oh, that was a fun one for us.
I bet it was.
Did any of you end up in jail or what?
No. We got a ton of press from really all over the world on that. Just because Cronky owns teams.
We should probably back up and explain
stuff.
What happened.
We as a show bought $250 worth of assorted animal poo and had it sent to Cronky's house in Columbia.
And for the
Missouri,
people,
not
Stan
the
Cronky
city, or the country.
We also need, we're not, because we have a lot of listeners that aren't from
I'm
St.
Sorry.
Louis.
Yeah. Stan Cronky is the owner of the now Los Angeles Rams.
Yes.
Yeah,
and the Colorado Avalanche
and somebody like an MLS team maybe?
He owns British Premier League.
That's
he owns Arsenal.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is why we ended up getting press in England. Basically because he and his lawyer really crapped on St. Louis in their letter of why they wanted to relocate, we decided, okay, fine. You want to play dirty, we'll play dirty. And we shipped him a giant Tupperware container full of assorted animal caca.
There we go.
Nice.
So great.
Yeah, we have a lot of listeners that aren't from St. Louis. Like, a while back, we got featured on the main page of iTunes, which is great.
Which is awesome.
Which is awesome. It was great for our subscribers, but it kind of made us not a local podcast
sure.
anymore.
Which isn't necessarily the goal, to be a local podcast.
No, so I know, but
know.
I mean, but originally, like, it was easier to make kind of local references, because it was mostly people that lived around us, and now it's not.
We're starting to get that same way, actually.
Awesome.
Now,
that's awesome.
Yeah. Which is cool. It's interesting to see it take off, and just because podcasting is becoming so big, that it's been cool to be on this ride.
So yeah,
thanks
moral,
for having me on.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for coming on.
And the moral of the story is, if you want to be famous, send a Tupperware full of poop to someone.
That's right. Works every time.
Every time.
So I guess allow me to shamelessly plug things. There
sure.
we go. It's an adverb. Because, plugging would be a verb in this
it would
situation.
Be, yes, correct. So, you're right.
Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there and rate and review and subscribe to us. We greatly appreciate it. It helps us a lot when people stumble across the podcast and they're trying to determine if we're worth listening to. keep in mind that they don't know anything about us. And so when they see lots of reviews from nice people like yourselves or the not so nice ones of you, in but you still say nice things, that that goes a long way.
Just to be clear, if you're not nice, still say nice things.
Yes,
if you are nice, say nice things. You know, but don't say crappy things no matter what.
You know how your mom used to always be like, well, if you can't say anything nice...
That's don't write a review at all.
That's probably why we haven't had a new review in a while.
That's probably true.
If you can't say anything nice, anonymously write your review.
Yes. So, don't forget that you can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. We posted a lot of things throughout the week, movie news or just funny movie-related things that we find interesting. And you can also converse with us. If you have a comment about an episode, you can leave it there, or you can join our League of Show Sharers. And I was out of town all week, and so I have not concocted this week's League of Show Sharers. So I apologize to those of you who haven't who shared a show this week that I'm not.
I feel like we had
we can hit it on the next episode.
Yeah. I feel like we had one that was new.
Do we?
I think so.
Well, how about that? Yeah, listen to 161. We'll get it for that one.
I was in San Francisco this week on work. You might have seen on our Facebook page, I posted a picture of myself with the Maltese Falcon.
That's right. That was pretty cool.
Real life Maltese Falcon. Yeah. It was weird. I was at this conference, and so these people they took us all to dinner, and they had a private room at this restaurant, and there was like probably 50, 60 of us. It was a pretty good sized group, and we get there, and it's called John's Grill, and we're in San Francisco, and I'm like, John's Grill? And I'm like, well, that's where they filmed the Maltese Falcon. Like, they use that in the Maltese Falcon. And then I see, like, on the bottom of the little awning, it says Home of the Maltese Falcon.
Nice.
And so, like, we're going up the stairs, and I'm, like, looking around. And then, like, there's all these other people there, and then,
Do they know?
Well, this is what's so weird. I'm, like, I'm looking around, and I'm, like, guys, this is the Maltese Falcon bar. Like, the Maltese Falcon is somewhere in this bar. And they're like, what are you talking about? And I'm just like, the Maltese Falcon? Like, I didn't pick, like, a weird, unknown movie.
It's an obscure movie.
It's a goddamn Maltese Falcon, people. Let's plug in, you know? And they're
now,
like,
if you told them Pee-wee's bicycle is parked in there.
Oh my God, you're reading my mind. Yeah. I was just thinking if you told them Pee-wee's bicycle's here, they'd be like, we're in the basement of the Alamo?
And I'm just like, I gotta find the Maltese Falcon. And they're just like, what's wrong with you people?
What's the age range?
Old enough.
Like, it was probably like 30s to like 60s. So,
well, it was a group of people that were researching senior living establishments.
No, because they would have cared.
Yeah, that's true.
I've never seen the movie, but I would know the Maltese Falcon.
Right. Like, how do
I think
you.
Anybody who has any interest in film should know what the Maltese Falcon is.
Of course. And so I'm like looking around, like all kind of like, where is it? And then this other guy. Admittedly an older guy.
It's over there.
No, he's like, what are you doing? Like, you're kind of jumpy. And I was like, the Maltese Falcon is in this restaurant.
Do you understand?
And he was like, uh-uh. And I was like, yeah. I'm like, this is John's Grill from the Maltese Falcon. Like, it's in it, and they filmed it here, and like, it is somewhere in this place. And he's like, well, we gotta find it.
I'm like, oh, this is turning into like a buddy comedy
adventure.
Yeah. And I was like, well, no shit, we gotta find it.
At that point, did Yakety Sax come on the music in the restaurant?
Yeah.
And so, like, and we were like, he's like, okay, we gotta ditch this room and find the Maltese Falcon. We're like, okay. And then it's not really that exciting of a story because we, like, we turn to our right and we're like, oh, there it is.
And it was in the women's restroom.
It was weird. It was in this little tiny hallway on the way to the restroom. Like, this restaurant has been open.
It looked like, from the picture, I was like, that looks like that when you go to a sports bar and there's, like, that trophy case.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, on the way to the John.
That's exactly like. Where it was. And that's why, like, I'm so pressed up against it because it's like, there was really not enough room for people to still get through the hallway.
Right.
And this restaurant was built in like 1908. It's been in continuous operation. So it's,
oh wow,
it's an old building.
Yeah,
it wasn't
sure.
That's
actually kind
of
cool.
But wouldn't you think at John's Grill, Home of the Maltese Falcon, they might display the Maltese Falcon not
center.
In the bathroom?
Maybe
like,
towards the front.
Right. Like, yeah, as you
maybe
walk
by
in
the
toothpicks. In a trophy case.
The marketing guy in me was all like, there needs to be like a special table that's right next to the Maltese Maltese Falcon and you pay extra to sit at that table. But judging by the fact that nobody around me knew what the hell it was.
You could have probably taken the Maltese Falcon.
Yeah.
They wouldn't
you know, it's funny you say that because the company I work for every year for Christmas, they're based out in New York. Every year for Christmas, we go up and we have a dinner.
Right.
And it's always at Keene Steakhouse, which is off of Times Square in Broadway, which is old, and it's apparently where Abraham Lincoln used to love to go. So you go in, and the whole thing is lined with the clay pipes, and it looks like you're inside of, like, some sea monster with just bones everywhere, but it's clay pipes. They have the playbill from Ford's Theater with Lincoln's blood on it.
What?
No way.
Yeah, and it's behind glass. It's like this whole like Lincoln area.
You would think that would
be a
violation.
Wouldn't it be like a Smithsonian or something?
I'd see
like,
this is the difference between me and Kevin. Kevin's like, shouldn't that be in the Smithsonian? And I'm like, isn't that a health code violation?
That's what I was like.
Here, have dinner under this blood.
Under this bloody playbill.
Yeah, here, would you like to sit next to the biohazard? It's someone famous's biohazard.
Well, I'm sure it was well preserved in a case.
When you're in New York.
Right.
Yeah.
Everything's a biohazard.
You made a conscious decision by landing in New York. That
you signed a waiver.
Is not
it's on
your
the,
concern. Yeah. But trash on the sidewalk, meh.
Well, yeah. When I was in San Francisco, that town like constantly smelled like weed, and apparently you're allowed to pee anywhere.
Huh?
Like I was just walking down the street, and like there's a dude peeing. I was walking down the street at one point, and I saw this shit bag.
Literally,
a bag of shit. And I like walked by it, and I was like, that looks like somebody crapped in a bag. And I'm like, that can't be right. So I walked to Walgreens and I get my soda because it's like half off compared to the hotel price.
Right, right.
And I'm walking back and I'm like, no, that's a bag.
Was
Kelly Mano here before me?
I was in Chicago, and it's just, you know, we're St. Louis.
Right.
We live, you know, it's not the biggest town in the world.
Oh, no.
But it's fairly small.
Yeah.
But like, I'm in Chicago for a comic book convention, and I forgot my sketchbook. So I Google it. I was like, you know, art supply store. I'm in downtown Chicago. There has to be one literally within a stone's throw. So I was like, oh, I'll just stop at 7-Eleven and get a soda. Same deal. And the guy's like, hey.
No Slurpee? You were 7-Eleven.
No, I don't do Slurpees. That's gross. Okay. I do squishies.
There you go.
So the guy was like, hey, do you want some chicken wings or pizza? And I was like, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. And he was like, uh-huh.
So no.
And I was like, no, I'm good. And I just left. And I realized that downtown Chicago, people are just like getting off work at like random times.
Oh,
so I was like, that makes complete.
Sure.
It's just so
San Francisco.
Your breakfast is somebody else's dinner.
Exactly. Yeah. It was just so.
Well, San Francisco was weird because I was like on Friday night, there was like this big awards banquet and dinner. And I'm like, I'm not going to like that food. Who are we kidding? So I cut out early and I like Google pizza.
Yeah.
Right. And Google works really fast in San Francisco because you're so close to it.
That's true.
Yeah. It's
that's
like you get to
your
way faster.
Bing.
Yeah. No, not Bing. No, not Bing. Yeah.
No one uses Bing.
And so
he was going to ask Jeeves, but
yeah, he's like hot box. And the pizza place closed at like 10 o'clock, and
that's
like,
weird.
It's a Friday night in San Francisco. Like I would think that the joint would be hopping, but
that was the first place I ever got by the slice.
Uh-oh. Oh,
by the slice,
pizza by the slice,
pizza by the slice. Yeah, it was just like some little.
You ever got a handy?
Well, I did get amazing service at a bar though. That is a true story. I was like, this is what it must
you heard
be like
here.
To be a hot chick. Like, this is awesome.
Joe got serviced.
I got service.
Amazing service.
Amazing service.
He was amazingly
at
serviced at a bar.
Now there's no D. There's no D.
Oh,
I think there might have been some D.
I see what you mean.
That's a personal problem.
I don't think it was a problem.
That's not a problem.
I don't judge him. Yeah. I don't judge him.
Whatever. It's like, this is what it must be like to be a hot chick at a bar. It's really nice.
But yeah, it was just weird. But back to the blood on the menu. Is my guess is, because you would think it would be in a menu or in a museum, but my guess is that they bought it before there was like an infrastructure for that.
Possibly.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
and like,
that's true.
They,
for 100 years they've had this
and they can't go seize it.
The government can't be, well, I guess
not
they can offer him a ton of money.
No, because he's out of office in like another 9 months.
Don't worry, he'll be your new Supreme Court justice. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find, I have a picture of it somewhere.
Yeah.
I cannot find where I put it.
It's funny though, because I heard that, that restaurant really hated it when Lincoln would eat there. He kept freeing all the waiters.
No, I see what you did.
And you get a freedom.
Yeah.
You get freedom.
You won't get good service then. why is somebody refilling my water?
Lincoln.
Thanks, Lincoln's
thanks
here
a lot,
again.
Freed
all the waiters.
Go get the now hiring sign.
Well, he ate there right before he went to the theater, if that gives you any.
So anyway, I guess that's our shameless plugs. We will try to have a list of show sharers on the next episode for you. And I guess now we will turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready, Kevin.
I do, Tom. And this week, Deadpool came out.
Was that this week?
Oh,
crap. Never heard of it. I saw the Nicholas Sparks movie.
Yeah, that's what I saw,
too. Oh, yeah? Is that it?
Yeah, I thought that's what we were doing. I saw that Masked Saint movie.
Yeah. I want a review. I want a full review of
done,
that.
Done.
Yeah. But no,
we totally need to see one of those movies sometime.
I know.
Yeah. Deadpool is...
We'll just see it together, like as a group.
I think that's the only way you can see it. Like your youth group makes you go or something.
But no, Deadpool opened this weekend and it is number one, the top of the charts.
I knew it was number one.
Who would have thought?
I was curious as to what it actually was going to make.
So, you know, a couple weeks ago they were predicting like 50 million. It's an R-rated, you know, comedy of sorts. Yep. You know, so 50 million. Okay, that's pretty fair. How about 114 million?
Wow.
Is that worldwide or
better,
is that just
right?
domestic?
114 million domestic is the 3-day estimate, and this is a 4-day weekend.
Yeah.
So they're talking 130 million opening.
Do they have a budget?
That kind of takes the sting out of Fantastic Four for them.
So,
a little bit.
Yeah. I have a question. When you see all these record-breaking numbers that come out, like with Star Wars and all the things like that, is there an asterisk or anything that denotes regular weekend, 3-day weekend, 4-day weekend?
I mean, people will try.
It seems like you're kind of cheating the system if you
sure.
use a 4-day
weekend. Well, especially now because everything opens Thursday night.
Right.
Like most movies open Thursday.
7 o'clock.
It's 7 o'clock.
They roll it into Friday.
And it's weird because they still tell you it opens on Friday, but it all actually opens Thursday. Like it was midnight screenings, and then it was 10 o'clock screenings.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I ran into that with Star Wars. Like the day that trailer came out, it said, buy tickets now. Boom. Midnight screening. 3 weeks later, 7 o'clock on Thursday, I'm like, well, what the fuck?
Yeah. I saw
why do
it,
I
like,
have to stay up at midnight on a work night when I could have seen it at 7?
Exactly.
It started like
nerd.
1 o'clock on a Thursday.
Because I'm a
like,
dork. I'm going to go see Star Wars.
I love 7 o'clock screenings because I hated being up till midnight on a work night.
And it's so, great. Yeah. It's great for me because I review movies on a radio station locally, too. And so a lot of times the movie studios will screen movies simultaneously. Like last week, they screened The Choice, Hail Caesar, and Pride and Prejudice and Zombies all at the same time.
Why would they? Why?
I have no idea.
You have to pick one to review? That just
and you picked?
I went and saw Pride and Prejudice, and then I paid to see Hail Caesar. Because if somebody's going to get my money, it's going to be the Coen Brothers.
Yeah. Good I want to see that movie. Yeah. I like Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies, but I really want to see Hail Caesar.
It was intermittently
it was
funny.
Yeah, it had moments. I would say overall it was like a C plus.
Yeah, I'd say it's one of their minor works, but it's one of their better minor works.
Got
that makes
it.
Any sense? So, but yeah, so it's like it comes in very handy for me, so I can see the movie on Thursday and then still go.
Did you see
it on
this
Friday.
With a real crowd or with a critic?
I did because I couldn't go to the screening because I was paying to see Hail Caesar when they screened this, so I could review Hail Caesar on the radio, and then I saw Deadpool last night.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But did you see it with a critic?
I saw it with a real crowd, though. It was it was a screening, but there was no no reserved seats, and they had real people there, so it wasn't just critics. So
because
we've
done them before where the critic screening isn't like something is missing from that because they don't react the way
they're all jaded.
It's different when you go to a daytime screening. It's just critics,
right? Mm-hmm.
But this is like a few rows of critics, and then everyone else is just fans.
Right.
People excited to see it a week early. The people behind me,
that's what we did with Guardians.
Yeah, the people behind me were like, "Oh man, I'm so psyched! This is going to be awesome!" Like it was that crowd. So
I didn't know what to think. Like, I was really worried about this movie.
Yeah, I was too going into it, especially with the... I mean, if there was an Oscar for marketing, I think these people should win it.
I don't know how they can't.
But I mean, I saw so much, and then I was like, okay, I've seen so much about it already. I hope I haven't heard all the good jokes. I hope they haven't oversold it to me.
It's almost like I compared to Suicide Squad. Like Suicide Squad,
that's insulting.
Like, as far as like the oversaturation of the film. Yeah.
But this was good marketing.
I don't know.
Suicide Squad stuff.
Batman Superman might be taking the cake on oversaturation. They're giving so much about that movie away.
Yeah. I said so that last trailer that just came out.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
That's the trailer they should have released.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one
spoiler.
Before.
Like, when you give away the big bad in your trailer.
Well, the one that bothered me was it the second trailer for that movie where they take Batman's cowl off? I was like, dude, you don't give that away in a trailer.
It wasn't
a dream sequence, though.
Yeah, it is. All right. Like that's legit. They said
the desert. When he's in the duster, yeah, and he's in the desert, and the Superman soldiers. That's Bruce Wayne's nightmare about Superman taking over the world.
Got it.
So yeah, they didn't really capture him and take his mask off or anything. So
yeah, Superman just uses X-ray vision. Yeah. All right, right through the cowl.
So
yeah,
this is good, the point, trailer version of like when the cover has nothing to do with what happens on the inside of the book.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, correct. Look at the Star Wars trailer. Like that. All of those trailers that we saw for Star Wars, they tell you nothing.
Right.
And that, they give you, here are your characters, here are some new characters, here are some action
that
sequences.
That was amazing, the way they cut them.
Yeah. You get that second, like the first teaser for Batman versus Superman was good. Like, yeah, they don't tell you anything, you give some, you know.
The teaser,
I got
to
see that at Comic-Con, and it was great.
Nice.
Really?
That's
nice.
Awesome. And then the second teaser is they give you everything.
That was
right.
Way
including,
too
like, the bad, like, if they had just...
I hope
if
that's not Doomsday.
It is Doomsday.
Oh, it is. And it bothers me that the Doomsday story should be its own movie.
Yep. Yep. I mean, it's it should be Superman 2.
I just feel like there's going to be something else to it.
They're throwing so much into that movie.
They're Schumachering up the joint.
They kind of are.
They're like, oh, well, just more famous villains will make it better. And it's like, no, it will not.
I do not see Spider-Man 2, Joel Schumacher. It was
Spider-Man
3. Yeah, sorry, Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, Spider-Man 2 is great.
So many things going on in that movie.
Yep. I think that Lex Luthor is going to wear the suit, the giant mech suit, and he's going to beat Doomsday, and he's going to be the savior of Metropolis.
All right.
That's what I think is going to be the...
I hope that they don't do what they did in the first group of Batman movies. Like, I was always a big Bane fan, because in the comic books, Bane breaks Bruce Wayne's back.
Correct.
And in the first round of movies, they made him a punchline.
You're talking about the Schumacher one.
He's a henchman.
Yeah. He was the comic relief. Bane smash.
He's supposed to be smart,
right?
Yeah. He's a genius. Yeah,
yeah. That's what made him so formidable.
He figures out who Bruce Wayne is.
Not even that. Like he figures out who Bruce Wayne is, and then he implements a plan where Bruce Wayne is going to be so beaten down.
Yeah.
And
he
broken.
Has him out all night, right, and then he comes back to the back or to Wayne Manor, and he's like, "Hey, what's
gotcha.
Up? Yep. Oh man.
Right. And that's why when they made Bane a punchline, it bothered me, and I'm so afraid that they're going to waste Doomsday.
If what they say is true and he is, and that character that we see is phase one of Doomsday, because in the comics you can't kill him,
right?
Like every time he dies, quote unquote, he comes back.
Well, Superman dies fighting Doomsday. They both die at the same time.
But and then he comes back.
Yeah,
and you can't beat
him the
same
way. I think there's something else too.
He's like the Bork.
That Doomsday looks like a insulting. He looks like a Michael Bay Ninja Turtle.
He does. He doesn't look like the spiky,
stupid,
villainous
monster he
was in the comics.
Yeah. We'll see. I hope so. But that final trailer for Batman vs. Superman is
perfect.
Awesome.
Yep.
It is awesome.
That should have been the only
Batman
trailer you
fighting
get.
Like that.
Yeah.
Like knocking people into walls.
I don't know why he's
so
strong.
He's awesome.
That's the weird part.
Well,
like he shouldn't be.
It's awesome.
It is
awesome.
Why is Batman this strong?
Well, like he's like hurling people like the rock bottom. And like some of the moves that he does, like where he's jumping over, like, and he slams the guy into the crate.
Right.
Like is huge. Yeah.
Well, that's fine. But then he throws a guy like halfway across the room, and I'm just kind of like, I don't think he should be that strong.
Yeah. Judo's
that could be true. Only cares if something looks cool.
I'll give you the judo. Like that could be if that's what they're saying is like his fighting style is he's using their own momentum against them.
Right.
That makes sense. But we'll see.
Yeah. So Deadpool did have a $58 million budget. So they released that thing right away.
That got cut. Like that's less than, I think they had like a $75 to a $90 million budget.
Okay.
And they cut it.
Gave which all the Fantastic Four.
Which they reference in the movie a lot.
Yeah.
Can they just let that franchise die?
They will.
They will. They officially signed it over, didn't they?
No.
Spider-Man they signed
America
it over.
America has spoken, and they do not care about the Fantastic Four.
I think they will give it to Marvel. And like I've said before, give it to like, hey, Quentin Tarantino, here's $100 million just for you. Just you. Like we'll give you $100 million, write your treatment, and you can direct it. You can do whatever you want with it. Because now that they don't have to go through Ike, whatever his name is, they just go through the guy at Disney.
Right.
They have a blank check to any Spielberg.
Sure.
You know? Like and then you can make when you have the guy that
you don't think it's been poisoned too much? Because at some point
I think we need like 10 years.
Yeah, you reach that
you're gonna
point.
Need time.
Where
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, you
gotta forget.
I think if they want to resurrect it, they gotta build it into the the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
You introduce Johnny Storm or Ben Grimm.
And you introduce one or two at a time into a larger story.
Right.
And you reestablish the brand, and then you spin it off into its own
Or you
movie.
Could say, you know,
can't
like,
just come at people with a Fantastic Four movie.
My favorite Fantastic Four story was I was living in Los Angeles when Fantastic Four 2 came out.
The Chris Story movie.
Yes.
Yeah. Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Correct. Ooh, yeah.
Still never and seen that. Probably never will.
You don't need
Silver
to see
Surfer
that.
Is the best part of that movie.
And we were at Disneyland. I'm sorry, not Disneyland. Six Flags in Los Angeles. And I'm assuming the movie company had paid for a Skyrider to go up above Magic Mountain and do the whole...
Four?
Number four with the circle around it.
Was it in flames?
He did it backwards.
Duh! Maybe you were just standing on the other side.
No, because it was so
far.
On
the other
it
side.
Was so far away from Magic Mountain. It's not like we'd be like, well, maybe if we go to the other side. Like, the other side would have been like 40 miles down the road.
That's why you never hire a left-handed skyrider.
Hey, man.
Well, he did it. Well, I mean, honestly, let's give him some
credit.
That's
messed up.
He was probably presuming you'd be walking away from it, and you'd be doing your makeup, so you'd have the mirror in your hand,
right.
And you would see it behind you. I mean, he was just really trying to be practical.
Right.
That's
right.
All it is.
To me, that was the first sign. Uh-oh.
You mean the first movie wasn't the first sign?
Right.
Yeah.
You get the guy that did Barbershop or whatever to direct your Fantastic Four movie?
Well, I mean, there's been some choices in the Marvel Cinematic Universe that on
guys
paper.
How about the guys that directed You, Me, and Dupree as
right.
the
That's
only
true.
Feature?
I mean,
That's
on
fair.
Paper.
You,
That's
Me,
true.
And Dupree.
You, Me, they directed Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Which
wow.
is one of
and
the
now,
best
and
Marvel
now they've
films.
Got, now,
I think it's the best yeah. one of all of them.
And
you,
now
Me, and
they've
Dupree.
Got, they've got the Avengers now.
Wow. Winter Soldier. One and two. They're two.
This guy,
seriously.
Tim Miller.
He's never directed anything.
He was the visual effects guy on
Scott Pilgrim.
Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
That's it.
His company, he was the creative supervisor. And it shows, like, Scott Pilgrim has amazing visuals.
That's a fun movie.
Looking movie. And this guy was the visual effects supervisor. And it shows in this movie.
It does. Absolutely does.
So, yeah, it did $114 million in 3 days on its $58 million budget. And
wow.
Then, you know, we can touch back on the four-day budget.
Does this open the door for other studios to do rated R superhero movies?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. If they do
it
right.
Well,
who else is out there? Deadpool-esque that you
Punisher.
Can do?
Punisher.
Punisher.
Right.
Punisher on Netflix.
This is going to be a Netflix thing.
But they can. But they can. They own the TV rights or whatever. But you can. I'm sure someone has to own the movie rights to Punisher.
No, yeah, Marvel. Marvel has everything. Marvel has
right,
the Punisher.
So I mean,
back.
I'm saying they.
But I think that they're going to do.
They've already got that. That's going to be in Daredevil season 2 and then spin off into its own show.
Yeah, they're going to keep that character. To me, does not work as a movie. Like, it works in a serial.
I agree.
Of,
yeah,
you know, story like that. They have Blade. Which they've done rated R and it worked like it.
Yeah, Blade was great.
I'm assuming like most of your Marvel Knights.
Yeah, which I think is going to be all TV. I think the Daredevil, Black Widow. Well, not Black Widow, but Punisher, Moon Knight, all that Blade. I think will probably end up on Netflix. All of that Marvel. Yeah, the Marvel Knights stuff will be on Netflix, and I think. But I'm just, there
It'll
really
be interesting
isn't
to see. It'll be interesting.
Yeah,
to
I don't
see.
Really know what else they could do.
Or DC. Who does DC
do you,
make a rated R movie?
Do you I mean, think that this opens the door for a character like Star-Lord to get a little edgier in the next Guardians, or do you think that is so imprinted
no.
with kids
yep.
that they can't?
No way.
They're not
going to
touch
no way.
That.
I don't think
they
so. I think they already pushed
yeah.
the envelope.
Because my first
with the Jackson Pollock joke.
Right.
Such
like
a great
Because that was my first thought was watching Deadpool. So I was like, wow, the humor is exactly... That same humor, it's just dialed up
Raunchy.
To a nine.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's what that character is. Like,
right.
That's exactly. It's like a machine gun. Like, his jokes are like, they're just nonstop.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, you know, if DC were to look at their Vertigo books, you know, Hellblazer is a perfect.
Spawn should have been rated R.
Spawn should have been rated R.
There's a
rated
yeah,
R cut.
There's a good one.
There's a director's cut for that.
But if they redo that, I mean,
can
Spawn
we
can
not
work.
Use John Leguizamo this time?
Sure. Yeah, that's fine.
I mean, it's fine.
They actually did a rated R cartoon. For HBO.
Yeah, I remember that.
An adult cartoon. Yeah, yeah, anything from Image, really. Like, you get Invincible, probably not. But, I mean, The Walking Dead is definitely a rated R show.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's hard to tell, like, what you could do. X-Force. I think an X-Force movie could
right,
be rated R.
Which Ryan Reynolds wants. That's his next
well
agenda. So, but after making this kind of money, if they can do it right and he gets behind it, I think we might see it.
I think we will.
Yeah. So, number two, How to Be Single. That one opened this weekend. That's the comedy with the girl from 50 Shades of Grey, Dakota Johnson, and
Rebel Wilson.
Rebel Wilson.
Who can go away anytime she's ready.
I like her better than Melissa McCarthy, but that's
both
just
of them.
No,
both
I
of
like
them
Melissa McCarthy
away.
Way better.
Melissa McCarthy was phenomenal the first time when she was called Chris Farley.
Yeah.
Reincarnated.
I mean, it is.
Thank you. That's the exact same thing I have said on record. She is like trying to be the female Chris Farley, but she's not funny.
No, she's not. She's one joke over and over again.
She's trying to do the same thing. It's like he was hilarious. He was talented. He had the energy. She just is dumb. But that's.
I think she's better in ensembles.
People love her, but I do think she's doing a female Chris Farley impersonation.
It is fantastic.
That's her best thing. I like that the best. Because
did you see Spy?
Yes,
and that was
I
good.
Liked it.
I never saw
Bridesmaids
good.
Was good.
Bridesmaids was
Bridesmaids,
good, yeah.
But like her, as far as her being like a leading person,
absolutely
and I think that's because playing off the Sandra Bullock straight man, you know, that interaction was funny. That was my favorite.
Find out with Ghostbusters. Yeah. So, I think we're getting a trailer this week.
I
think so.
I'm so mad at that.
I know a lot of people that will not see it. They just don't like it.
And I'm not trying to be an asshole. Like I'm actually curious as to why you're angry.
It seems forced. It seems very, very forced. And to me, it just seems like, well, what can we do if we're going to reboot Ghostbusters? We're going to start this whole Ghostbusters universe. What can we do to make it edgy and fresh? I know. Let's go find four of the most overrated female comic hacks we can find and throw them in a film.
See, I don't think they're overrated.
I think
this cast is amazing.
Yeah, I think Kristen Wiig is great.
I hate Kristen Wiig almost as much as I hate Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, my gosh.
Leslie Jones and Kate McKinnon are going to be massive coming out of this movie.
I like Leslie Jones.
We'll have to see if Leslie Jones can say more than one word and be angry.
Right,
like, that's the thing. She's funny on her one line punchliners or whatever, you know.
Yeah, and exactly. I've said that on SNL. Like, yeah.
Give her more to do.
And my wife will back me up on this. The first time she was on SNL, I was like, she is hilarious.
Yeah.
And if they can figure out what to do with her, she's a big star.
Right.
But they need to. But the problem is that they kind of kept giving her the same like. I'm weird looking and ugly, that's the joke. And like that needs to be.
She's a one trick pony.
That needs to be tamped down. But that trick has been very funny.
Yeah,
it is actually. I love her interactions with the guy from Weekend Update.
Yeah,
those are great.
Colin Jost.
Yeah, just constantly calling him like just whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, hilarious. And you know what's funny is I think she's like my age.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She's not like
she's
early,
like 45 or 46. Hmm. And like how she got on there was Chris Rock was having dinner with Lorne Michaels and he was like, he's like, this is the funniest person I know. He's like, not funniest woman, not funniest black person, not funniest black. He's like, this is the funniest person I know.
Chris Rock knows a lot of funny people.
Yeah. And he's like. And he's like.
Half of them are named Adam Sandler.
Yeah. And he's like, he's like. You know, she's not just going to succeed going through the regular process because when you see when her resume lands on your desk and she's 45, you're going to be like, no.
Right.
And he's like, but like you need to talk to her. And he got her onto SNL.
That's awesome.
And I think she's been great.
I do. I think she's very funny. And I think Kate McKinnon is on like she's right there.
Right.
I think I think Ghostbusters will push her through the glass ceiling.
If it's good.
There's a lot of skeptics. So the first weekend, it's going to have to come out and have some good word of mouth.
Here's the advantage it's got going for it, though, is that the expectations are so low.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to do much to surpass them.
Oh, I'm going to go. It's going to get my money.
Yeah.
For sure. It's going to get my money.
And I would rather they go this route than when they were kicking it around with like Seth Rogen and Michael Cera.
It's tough because I would see
that group too.
And I will say when they were first talking about that, and they were first talking about that about what 7 years ago.
Sure. Yeah. When they were at their height.
And I was like, oh, that sounds doable. And they were still thinking that they'd have the original Ghostbusters for little cameos to kind of pass a torch.
Right.
And I was like, okay. Like in character, not just like he's driving a cab. But now it's like, no, if you're going to do it, do a 180. Do something completely different.
Don't just remake it.
Don't just try and find four guys that remind you of the originals. Like,
because you're not going to top the originals.
You're not.
Ever.
And so while
that Blu-ray transfer, not good.
Yeah.
No, not good at all.
But, it's just, like I said, I think it's going to lessen the comparisons yeah. because it isn't a one for one. It isn't, oh, right. you're Venkman, oh, you're
It's tough
Ray.
So, like, because Kate McKinnon looks like Egon.
Yeah.
Like, she, like the whole outfit she has, like the hair.
And Melissa McCarthy looks like Slimer.
Sorry. That's Kevin's joke.
That's Kevin's joke. But he wasn't taking too long to get to
I was going
to
say the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Ah, nice. Are Aykroyd and Murray not involved at all?
No, Aykroyd's Aykroyd, got a cameo.
Aykroyd's got a cameo. I think Murray wants nothing.
I thought Murray signed on for
Ray?
A cameo.
No,
he's not going to be
None
Ray.
Of them are the characters.
Yeah.
I, see, thought, I don't know how they couldn't stupid. Get Ernie Hudson.
Like, I thought Murray signed right? on for a cameo.
He's got nothing going on.
Oh, maybe. Did he?
I thought
they
at
might
the last
all have
minute
one
he
now.
Did.
Yeah, maybe. Murray's been kind of tanking with his... His
throwing
efforts.
People's phones off roofs and yeah. stuff.
I mean, he's pretty cool guy, but man, his last few, like Rock the Casbah,
yeah,
that
yeah.
Christmas special on Netflix is terrible. Yeah.
What is that?
It's like just a Christmas terrible. Special.
That's it.
I mean, yeah. it is mm. not funny. It is
no,
the driest, just least funny
that
thing.
Saint
I turned
Vincent
it off.
Movie was good though.
Yeah, that was good. Well, yeah. That was with Melissa McCarthy, wasn't
which,
it?
Yeah. What's yeah. weird yeah. with yeah. Bill Murray is weird. It seems like his real life is becoming the comedy, and his
yeah.
comedies are just becoming awful.
Yeah,
like I don't.
He just needs to.
Have you guys heard the McDonald's story of him?
No.
All right.
Is
so,
this legend or is it?
The story goes, and I've never wanted anything to be more real in my life,
okay.
is that some dude was in line at McDonald's, got his tray of food, turned around, and Bill Murray's like in his face and just quietly doesn't say a word, starts eating his French fries like handfuls at a yeah. time, gets to the last handful, smiles at him and goes, the best part is, nobody's going to believe you. Ate him and just walked away.
I mean, he. Does, he
I mean, I would let him do that. If
I think that's urban, like, because I'm pretty sure I've heard that same story with Tom Hanks.
Yeah, but I mean, he's also the same guy that just walks into people's pictures,
right?
And just shows up at their party.
Yeah, right.
It completely sounds plausible in the world of Bill Murray.
It does.
He is a legend.
He just
is.
Showed up at the Oz one night over on the East Side, like
yeah.
10 or 12 years ago. Because I used to work at Pops, and people that own Pops own the Oz. These are nightclubs.
Yeah. Oh man,
in the Oz on the East Side.
STD walking in that joint.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And but the guy that managed it, he's got a picture of him and Bill Murray.
Wow.
Like, he just showed up one night. He's like all by himself. He was just like, is this open? Like, yeah. And they were like, yeah, we'll throw you in the VIP room. He's
don't
like,
even worry about
he's
it.
He's like, okay. And then
wow.
he hung out there.
Yeah.
That's pretty.
He is an interesting dude for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
We should probably blow through the rest of these.
did you see How to Be Single?
I did not because I was out of town all week. So.
Oh, gotcha. Makes sense. All right, so
I learned how to be single this week.
Hey, do your own. Maybe you can do the sequel. But that made $20 million on a $38 million budget.
People can call you the male Rebel Wilson.
Yeah.
Oh. I will throw myself off of it.
He's like, I'm leaving this show right now.
I'm out. I'm done.
And so keep this in mind. These are the 3-day weekend estimates, not the 4-day holiday weekend. So they may vary slightly. Number three, Kung Fu Panda 3, in its third weekend release, made $18.2 million, a 14% drop, so not too bad. It's now at $92 million domestic and another $131 million foreign, so it's up over $200 million worldwide. We did hear it at a pretty hefty budget, though. What yeah. were we, $140?
Something like that.
Yeah.
So, it took a small hit from all yeah. those parents taking their kids to see Deadpool.
Yeah.
yeah. That's a real thing.
So,
I had people on my Facebook wall who were like,
I've
we
heard
walked
all
into
the
Deadpool.
Stories. Every person I know that has gone to see it, I don't know about you guys, but every person I've talked to so far has had kids in their theater.
Yep.
Did you have kids in your theater?
No, because I saw the Moolah at like...
Too late
seven
for
on
kids.
A, like 7 p.m. Oh. But the Moolah for the most part is a
older crowd.
Yeah. Not older, like don't make it sound like Tom, but
my buddy Jeff yesterday.
Wow.
My buddy Jeff yesterday, he had an 8 or 9 year old in there, and then parents with their 3 kids that were about 5 and 6. They made it 5 minutes and walked out.
Yeah.
How
wow.
stupid do you have to be
well,
to not
and it's not like and to this movie's credit, like to Deadpool's credit, they have done an amazing job with their marketing, but they've also told you, like, look, this is not for kids.
Yeah,
like,
they've made it. That was
clear.
Not a bait and switch.
No, they,
would have
it's
been
not
a master bait and switch with this
well,
movie. But
you know, I saw it at 11 o'clock yesterday morning, and there were kids in the theater. But I can also say, you know, up until last week, I was dating a girl who had 2 kids. One was an 11-year-old boy. One was a 10-year-old girl. And the first time we saw that trailer in the theater was obviously a Green Band trailer, and I don't remember what it was attached to. But by the 11-year-old was like, we got to go.
Oh,
and I looked at her mom and I was there his mom and I was like, that's the Green Brand trailer. Let me play you
yeah.
the real trailer
we'll
later.
What this movie's yeah. going to look like.
And, you know, I got like 4 calls from friends of mine yesterday who were like, did you see it? Yes. Is it kid appropriate? And I was like, Not even.
It's rated R.
Not in the slightest.
But that's what I'm saying. Like,
but I think people are thinking it's rated R for violence, and so a lot of people like their kids are playing Halo and Black Ops, and they're just like they're like, oh,
or
my kids,
language.
My kids see people get their heads blown off all the time.
Or language, like an F word, is different than like the depending on context, and he is using language in a way, you know, and we'll get into
that. That was masterful.
This is So this is not your typical, but
no.
Kung Fu Panda 3, it's a little over $200 million on its $140 million budget, so at least it is making its money back, and it's going to be a foreign juggernaut probably. So, number four, Zoolander 2 opened to fourth place, $13.6 million. That has to be a disappointment, and I heard it is terrible.
The first one's terrible.
Was the first one a hit?
I don't remember it being a hit.
The first one is a cult classic.
The first one is a hit when it gets to like I think of it as like Anchorman. Like, it wasn't hit in theaters.
No, but it did $45 million in theaters. I mean, for a dumb comedy.
What did Anchorman do?
And it did $15 million foreign, so it did $60 million, and then obviously had a huge video following.
Is that total or opening weekend? That's total, right?
That's total. Okay. That's total. But Anchorman actually did $85 million, so I guess it did
Anchorman
a little less.
Yeah,
it did a little less. But, you know, it made money in theaters, and it gained a huge following, like Anchorman did on VHS, too.
Like not Wayne's World, but Austin Powers.
Yeah.
First Austin Powers.
But I heard, I've just heard that, I mean, the critics are ripping it, but I've also heard the fans are like, it's the same plot as the first one, and it's just not funny.
It looks,
But it's just there's gross. Difference between a bad movie and a bad movie.
And the
you know,
guy,
like,
that wrote Zoolander is dead. Like, a lot of people don't realize that. It was co-written, largely written, by a guy named Drake Sather, and he's a stand-up comedian who I liked a lot, never really broke through. And he ended up committing suicide, not because of Zoolander.
Can't believe this movie worked.
Yeah, but I think he was kind
part of the magic behind
that. Yeah, and he's been dead for a long time.
When did the first one come out?
Oh, it's been 10 or 12
years.
It has to
be, right? 2001.
Yeah,
that's
so
ridiculous.
So you're talking, 15-year difference. So, Zoolander was stupid, but it had those funny parts. You know, it was like Anchorman. I mean, Anchorman's a little smarter, but still, there's stupid stuff, but you're like, that's funny.
Right.
This movie, I've heard, just is
Like, to me, this is like Little Nicky.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like
good call.
The first Zoolander. Like I can't stand even when I was a kid, like a kid, but like, you know, I can't watch Billy Madison now.
Oh, I
can enjoy it. Like I hate it. I can't stand it.
I can still
that was good Sandler.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that being one of the few Sandler movies that I actually
like. Waterboy I like.
Waterboy I like the
Happy
voice.
Gilmore
thing,
you know?
Happy
Billy
Gilmore
Madison
is great.
Were the two good ones.
Yeah. Anything pre
Little Nicky.
Well, which came first? Big Daddy or Mr. Deeds?
Big Daddy.
Okay. Mr. Deeds before, great. Everything after Mr. Deeds, flush it down
Mr.
the toilet.
Mr. Deeds is the one. It's the one where he inherits the millionaire.
Yes.
Yeah,
millions?
Yeah.
Side of ugh.
But it's not funny because of him. It's funny because of Totoro.
Yeah, that's true.
He is.
I'm very, very sneaky.
He is funny.
He's my money.
Yeah. Number five, The Revenant came in with $6.5 million. It's a 6% drop, so that's up to $158.7 million now, and another 184. And so this thing's up close to $350 million worldwide on a $135 million budget.
I'm shocked.
Wow.
I'm shocked that it's
triple
doing
its budget.
That's
almost.
Awesome. That it's doing
I mean,
as
that's
well.
Yeah. It's great. So it's a good movie. So it's nice to see ones that are good that deserve it actually make some money too.
I was hoping.
Yeah. Oh. Number six, Hail Caesar, which we talked about a little earlier, $6.4 million, a 43% drop in week two. It is now up to $21.2 million, and it doesn't have a foreign release yet. Number seven, Star Wars The Force Awakens, still making some money. It is in seventh place with $6.2 million, but that's only an 11% drop.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, it's a little foreign film, so you might not have caught
it. I think at this point, you have to just have people that are like, I'm going to see it once a week until it's out of theaters.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to get it. It's money. Don't be worried.
$914 million domestic, $1.104 billion foreign. So you're looking at just a little over $2 billion, like $2.014 billion.
How's that
worldwide?
How's that Lucasfilm sale looking now?
When do we get the first trailer for Rogue One?
We'll probably get it.
Oh,
I would assume with maybe Captain America.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the next or
because it comes out this Christmas,
December.
Right?
I would assume either Zootopia or Captain America.
I think it makes more sense on Captain America
that's
than
what I would think
Zootopia, but
I was just thinking of like other Disney stuff that's
probably at least get a teaser or something for it. Yeah, for
you see, they added
if they were really this movie could hit $1 billion, it could do it if they would just put a little effort into it.
Yep,
that sounds weird.
Well,
like,
I wonder, if they're just like just be like, well, okay, we'll let this ride out, and then as soon as we think, all right, we've stalled out, we're not going to do anything more. then we're going to do.
I'm like, if they, like, because I said a couple weeks ago, they need to just find a couple deleted scenes, put them in.
Yoda scene?
Yeah, and just, and re-release, and be like, now with new footage.
Oh my God.
Done. It would go back to.
Number one.
If they were easily. Like, there's two new scenes in this movie. Yeah.
We find out who Rey is.
The two scenes could
well, that's it.
The two scenes could total 30 seconds and it would still push it back.
Yep. Or if they were if you did something else they could do, which wouldn't do create as much of a buzz, but would still, I think, get them to $1 billion. I think at this point, maybe in a week, just put a Rogue One trailer on it.
Yep.
Like this weekend there's a Rogue One trailer on Star Wars
Force
Awakens.
For the next 2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
We'll have the Rogue One trailer.
Done.
Yeah. I mean, I agree.
They added so in that stupid Vin Diesel
Disney triple I am X, available.
Yeah,
if you wanted to hire me.
That Vin Diesel Triple X movie. Either I think Jackie Chan dropped out and no, Jet Li dropped
Jet
out
Li.
And they added Donnie Yen. Who was in Rogue One.
Because all the Chinese people are the same. Is that what you're saying?
No.
Jackie Chan and Jet Li, you can't keep those two straight.
Well, isn't Jackie Chan in? Oh no, it's Tony Jaa. Right?
See, you're just proving
not helping.
It was Tony Jaa and Jet Li were the two villains, right?
That were
cast.
You know how some movies used to have like the token black guy?
Right.
He's our token racist.
Yeah. Yep. It's true.
And the funny thing is that Jet Li and Jackie Chan look nothing alike.
No.
They're completely different.
And they're like
different.
30 years apart.
Are they really?
I mean, Jackie Chan's been, I mean.
I guess that's true. Jackie Chan's been around forever.
Jackie Chan was on Cannonball Run.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, he was in the first
Jackie
Cannonball
Chan
Run.
Like, God, he's
I guess I
chickens.
Always forget that he always, like, because he still does his own stunts. Like, the dude is still, like,
I bet you
jumping
he's
off buildings.
And is at least
but all
mid
the stunts
50s.
Now involve a walker.
right.
My favorite stunt is
we're
when
just a little slower than they
yeah.
used to be.
But yeah, Donnie Yen, who's in Rogue One, they added him to the new
good for
Vin
them.
Diesel movie.
Number 8, The Choice, is in week 2, 5.1 million. It's a 16%
Jackie Chan
drop.
Is 61 years
61,
old.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that's...
And Jet Li's what?
And Jet Li...
12. I think he's 50.
38.
No.
$1. $1.
Jet Li is 52.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Jet Li is 52
well,
now?
Yeah, he was also... Oh, I mean, he was making movies over in China.
Yeah.
He was like, in Cannonball Run, too.
I cannot... Yeah. they replaced him because they thought he looked so much like Jackie Chan.
Well, Jackie Chan, like, that's why he stopped... He made... That was supposed to be his big American debut, and they, like, reduced him to, like... The
comic relief.
The comic
so
relief.
So he went back to
wacky Chinese.
Well, they
like,
wanted
he rips his pants or something, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, and he was like, we're done with America.
Yeah.
He's like, China. I'm making plenty of money in China being a real movie star, so you guys can all suck.
Yeah, they wanted him
said
to be the next
Mandarin,
the next Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
And he just, like, that's just not his, he's not that guy. Like, yeah. He does have a comedic style to his.
Absolutely.
And that's, I think he started doing.
He's like a martial arts Buster Keaton.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's a very good comparison.
Yeah.
And he did, like, Drunken Monkey, and he was. Funny and still kicking people in the face.
Yeah.
The Choice made $13 million domestic in its first 2 weeks. I don't have a budget on that one, but that is pretty awful.
And I'm sorry, just real quick. Who did you say they replaced him with?
Donnie Yen.
He is 52.
Yeah. I knew Donnie Yen was old. But that dude is still awesome.
Yeah.
Number 9, Ride Along 2, made another $3.9 million. That's a 14% drop in week 5. It's now up to $82 million and 23 foreign, so it's a little over $100 million worldwide on its $40 million budget. And rounding out the top 10, The Boy, still hanging around, $3.2 million, 22% drop for it in week 4. It is now up to $31 million domestic. No foreign on that one, but that had that $10 million budget, so.
All right. Didn't see it.
Nope. And that's the box office.
Thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
So I guess that's it for this episode. We'll go around and everybody can say where to find them.
I am on Twitter at Haas_A_Palooza. I like to make it very hard for people to find me.
People love underscores.
That's right.
Yeah.
And Palooza with 17 O's.
Yeah.
Right. And a Z and an X.
Yeah.
The X is silent.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, B-U-T-T-S.
We've done 160
Well, I thought there was more coming
well, to be
with
fair,
the Kelly
he's Mano. He's trying to follow Chris on Twitter
yeah,
and he's
yeah.
typing
he's
in 17 O's.
It's hard working. To find the underscore on your phone.
I thought there was more coming to that.
Yeah.
So.
No, I'm good.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at cough. At you can follow me on Twitter at Roger Hubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe.
Now, do you have to put the cough emojis in?
You
is
do.
That how you,
you do.
The only way you can find you.
If you can do an underscore, you can figure this out, Kevin.
Okay.
At death rattle.
Yeah. At old guy.
I'm typing that in right now.
.org. I'm so old. My
old
Twitter.
Guy.org.
My Twitter has an extension. That's how old I am.
I want to say oldguy.org is available now and redirect it to Tom's Twitter page.
Oh, who just snorted? Who did
Why
that?
Why is it a .org?
I don't know. It's just funny that way.
.edu not available?
Well, this certainly is a not-for-profit situation, so I can see how we...
Most certainly.
Yes. So where was I at? Oh, don't forget, if you would like to continue the conversation online, we are waiting for you at facebook.com/realspoilers, or you can follow us on Twitter at youngguy.org, or you can also try...
Don't do that.
Don't type in youngguy.org.
No.
And definitely don't type in youngguys.org.
Or youngguy.org.com. Not even that one.
Yeah, no, none of that. So I was youngguys.org.
Yeah.
Ah, nice.
Yeah. So it reads funnier than it. Yeah. But anyway, you can also follow us on Twitter at Real Spoilers, or you can email us if you want to kick it old school at realspoilers@reviewstl.com. Don't forget that Real has two E's in it because we're cool like that. Also, we're available on iTunes. Go there, subscribe, rate, and review us. You'll never miss an episode again, because sometimes, like this week, we just throw them up on iTunes and don't get around to posting them on Facebook. So it's a good way. And if you don't do the iTunes, all your little things out there, PodKicker, PodAddict, Stitcher, they all have little subscription things. So go there and do that.
And I think a lot of people are doing that now, because remember, Joe used to have to creep into their house and put the show on their music rectangle.
That is true. So now he just creeps in their house for the hell of it.
Yep. I mean, just leave out the Doritos and a nice Monster Energy for cool. him. Like,
no, I don't drink those.
Cool Ranch and a Surge. I'll be all right.
Cool Ranch and a Surge.
It's like Creepy awesome. Claws.
It is. He comes down the chimney and he eats the
Doritos. I don't do anything weird. Just sit on your couch and maybe delete stuff off your DVR. Yeah.
You don't want to watch that.
That show's awful.
Click. It's kind of doing you a service.
Yeah.
Big Bang Theory. What's wrong with you people?
That show's terrible.
So, anyway, that's it for this episode. Next episode, we will tackle Deadpool. And he's hard to tackle.
He is.
He's very fast, and he's probably covered in lube.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Because he's Deadpool.
Slips right out every time.
He's like that. So thanks for listening. Until next time, you've been warned.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.